is Andrew Phipps. Welcome to Faith, Family, Freedom. I hope today that you're having a good day, and perhaps you will enjoy the information and the messages and all of the different segues that have been incorporated into the format for your benefit today. We have a part two of a little message that I did recently at the Liberty Baptist Church, our home church. The title was From Sorrow to Joy. Hey, man, listen here. It ought to be exciting to go to church. The church shouldn't be a place where you get bored. The church ought to be a lively place. Amen. It bothers me a great deal. Let me just say this today. It bothers me sometimes when I see evidence of people that don't seem to enjoy church. I don't know why it does, but it bothers me. Does it bother you? You know, you take somebody that loves golf, you can't keep them off the course hardly. It could be raining a monsoon. People can be out there with paddles and boats, and they'll say, oh, it's not too bad to play golf. I hit one, and the water took it right into the hole. Let me tell you something today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad that you get to go to church? I don't know about you, but Miss Linda, sometimes I get to thinking that every one of us ought to just somehow get all loosed up by the Holy Ghost. We ought to have so much of the Holy Ghost in us that if a mosquito would bite us, he'd fly away singing, there's power in the blood. Amen. I like to go to church, don't you? We ought to go to church and Miss Wanda enjoy it. You know the thing that happened to me, and it may have happened to you. We go to church and we've been conditioned that we oughtn't to get expressive. That we oughtn't to say a thing, that we ought to just be reserved. Let me tell you something, folks. We're not going to go to heaven and impress God with our head. There's nobody going to go to heaven and say, oh, God, a street of gold. Who would have ever believed it? No, we're going to be overcome. The Bible said we'll bow at his feet and say, worthy is the risen Lamb. That's what's going to happen to us. We ought to be getting practice down here. I wonder, man, I'm going to talk to you men just for a little bit because you need it. I wonder if our wives would stay with us if we give them as little praise as we do to the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. Now I can see that dissension has risen among some of the families. But I'm trying to tell you something here today. We ought to be, as the pastor said this morning, we ought to be, Brother Robertson, glad to be a servant of the Most High. Amen. There's nobody that's able to impress God with your head. We've got to come to him, Brother Coffee, with thanksgiving and tell him that he is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bride and the morning star. I feel like preaching today. Amen. Oh, listen here. The Bible said in the book of James, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. We ought to sometimes, I wonder what would happen in most Baptist church if somebody, don't talk to, tell this on me, you can cut off the thing back there. What if somebody started dancing in a Baptist church? I don't know, I'm not telling you to. I'm just simply saying this here. He said this here. He said in Psalm 30:11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into what? Dancing. Now I know that doesn't go over in a lot of fundamental churches, especially those kind that say, well, you need to have this or that. I'm simply saying this in the Psalmist 30:12, he said, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be what? Silent. Brother Jeff, you don't want to be silent, do you? What'd you say? Amen. He said, Oh Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. What is it that the song says? Wafted on the railing, rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Brother Cecil, Jesus saved. Boy, Brother Cecil was an encouragement to me this morning. He was saying amen right there. And I said, I thought to myself, Brother Cecil, just come over and join us at Liberty Baptist. Tell Bethel you don't belong there anymore. No, I'm just kidding with you. There's a beautiful family over there. Church people. I love those people over there at Bethel. Wonderful people. But I'm saying here, he said, sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. What? Jesus saved. Jesus saved. Miss Shirley and I were talking not long ago, and Brother Kenneth got up here, testified, and he'd make a dead man want to get up. And he gave praise to God, told how the Lord had been near to him, Miss Joni. Sweet to my soul. This morning we had testimonies. Sister Cousin Mary gave her testimony. Mention a man's name that I hadn't heard in years. Brother V.B. Kesselberry. Brother Coffee back here gave his testimony. Others gave their testimony. Brother Jerry here, feel like he's almost like my brother. I when he's out with me, I say, Brother Jerry, just go ahead and pay for it. You'll enjoy it. Oh, he, since he's my brother, I've got a right to ask it, don't I? Oh, yeah, that's when he gets into rebellion. But let me tell you something here. The Bible says, he said in Philippians 1:25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with all of you for the furtherance and joy of faith. You know, I get to thinking, and I'm soon coming to an end. In the book of Job, you'll never read more of a depressing situation than Job. How that Job lost, first of all, his family. Job secondly lost his fortune. Then Job lost his family. Lost his prosperity, lost his health. Got down to where that Job was almost desirous of death. Even his caretaker, his wife said, Job, why don't you just get it over with? Sometimes we jump on her, but we shouldn't. The caretaker sometimes has a hard road to hoe. And she said, just curse God. Get it over with. But Job said, would it be all right if I preach just a little bit? Job said, though my reins be consumed within me, I'll not forget. He said, I've got a hope that's beyond the grave, that I know there's going to be another time. The resurrection is coming. Yesterday, as they put that stuff together there, and I thought about it, my mind went a long way. My mind went a long way, Miss Cousin Mary. It went a long way. And I got to thinking about people that have suffered. See, he wanted grace for his self-confidence. Job's, in the book of Job 35 and 10, he said, but none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? Have you ever felt like singing? Sometimes it's difficult to sing. Sometimes it's difficult to sing, Brother Cecil. That's why God touched you today. That's why God touched you today, brother. Oh, my brother pastor, we need a touch of God. We need people that can still get a hold of God. He said, the songwriter said this, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it not to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. In his prosperity in verse 6, David talked about his strength. He boasted about it. Then in verse number 8, he doubted his strength. Then in verse 10, he said, I borrow from my strength. You see, today, I'm here to tell you that Jesus cares. We go from sorrow to joy. Don't we, Miss Sandy? We go from sorrow to joy. We hear things every day that are perplexing, Miss Ethel. You've been through it. Others have. Oh my, if you could get up today and tell your stories, no doubt every one of us would probably cry. But I'm here to tell you, out of that 168 hours, Joni, that you mentioned, some of it ought to be given to the Lord. We ought to have a desire to give him some praise. The church shouldn't be a funeral home. Huh? Somebody ought to say amen right there. The church ought to be a lively place. Does Jesus care? I know he cares. We go from sorrow to joy, Brother Pastor.
I know.
The invitation said, just come casual. The dress code is casual, says the invitation. At church, the new mantra is, come as you are, but unfortunately, many leave as they were. Church attendance is casual. Most congregants do not want to commit to more than one service per week, and they don't want to be held very long. And farther to the back is where we like to sit. Never mind that we pay the high dollar to see the sporting event, to hear the new comedian, even though he has a potty mouth, or secular singers, entertainers, regardless of their lifestyle. In church, I am comfortable with no testimonies, prayer request, or praise, because the church is to be a place of formal quietness. Yet, however, I do get very emotional and expressive at the ball game. I can squeeze the hot dog right out of the bun, and others have seen me do it. At work, I too am casual. My job, as I understand it, is to do as little as possible, to take care of myself. My interpretation is that my boss simply hired me so that I would have a job, not to make him or the company any money. Casual is how I dress, whether it be a funeral, church service, mission conference, or whatever. I choose to bow to the peer pressure of being like the world and everybody else, because we want to bring the non-church people in, right? Allow the unsaved to set the standards for the saints. Give no attention to doctrine or Bible imperatives. Make the Bible conform to the church rather than asking for the church to get right with the Bible. Politics? That is for somebody else to do. I am very casual about voting. Sometimes I do vote, sometimes I don't. I vote not with a Bible view in mind, and I don't get involved with doing some investigating myself about the social, political, and economic issues. I think the preacher should avoid anything that might be considered as politics in the pulpit. Never mind that casual people seldom get anything worthwhile done. Please do not give me any responsibilities, as I prefer a casual, sedentary lifestyle with no drama and no stressful moments. Casual? Why has it become so popular? Look around. See for yourself. If you look just a little, think about it for a moment. Casual may not be the way you want to go. If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now, and as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story, written in a way that only Andrew can tell, from early survival and great loss to eventual success and many aspects of his life. Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, it's always a struggle, but, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Many times.
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is...
University is a public institution.
That's right.
Important institution,
but the university...
its own community and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
Friends, we live in a time in which we find such a division, and folks are becoming dysfunctional, fierce. That's what the Apostle Paul described in Timothy. People would become fierce, implacable, etc. I think it's highly important that you and I stand against the forces of wokeism, cancel culture, and these people that want to advance the Palestinian situation above our good friends in Israel. Israel is the best democracy in the Middle East and as our friend. We've been injunctioned to stand with this great people. They are God's people. And these protesters that get out and want to take over college campuses, I tell you, it's detestable. These college presidents ought to have a backbone. It's not within the scope of even sanity what we're seeing here today. People have gone mad. It's like they've lost all sense of competency, and how that they common sense just no longer matters. I don't know. You can have enough degrees to look like a thermometer and yet be completely idiotic. I think, and I know that I am going to stand with the people of God, and I hope that you do as well.
From the valley of the jolly,
ho, ho, ho,
green giant, good things from the garden. Summer greens, snapping fresh, kitchen sliced to taste their best. Tender beans are coming from the valley.
These Green Giant green beans start from special seed and grow into these tender, thick meat beauties. Then they're kitchen sliced at an angle to bring out all their flavor and freshness. Taste the difference yourself. Try Green Giant brand kitchen sliced beans. And if you prefer, you can get the Green Giant's French style beans too.
Good things from the garden. Garden in the valley. Valley of the jolly.
Ho, ho, ho.
Green Giant.
In 1607, 105 men led by Captain John Smith land at Jamestown, Virginia, with their London Company charter ordering them to accomplish three things: find precious metals, establish a Protestant presence on the continent, and expand English naval power. But like Roanoke, Jamestown is almost another failure. There is no gold to be found, malaria strikes, and by 1610, the 38 colonists remaining reboard their ship to head home, fearing they won't survive another year. Destiny shifts, however, when sailing out on James River. They encounter a second wave of London Company settlers and return, 1,700 strong, to search again for a path to prosperity. After experimenting with a series of possible exports, from timber to iron to sassafras with little success, it is when John Rolfe, future husband of Pocahontas, cultivates a tobacco plant from seeds he carries across the Atlantic, do the settlers find fortune. Tobacco becomes an overnight sensation in Britain, triggering the formation of new southern colonies in Carolina and Maryland.
And friends, our responsibility, I think, is to speak truth to error as best we understand it. The late Rush Limbaugh used to say on his broadcast, he says, "I say things that people believe but do not have the courage to say it." Sometimes we have to speak things that seem fairly bold, but we have to have that with mental clarity. I hope today that this kind of program will be beneficial to you. Tell others about it. I look forward to being with you again. Have a great day. This is Andrew Phipps. God bless you.